Last Wednesday night, I recognized many of your faces. I also see there are some people that weren't here last Wednesday night. But I know that there was a great time of prayer afterwards. And some of you look like you had some breakthroughs. Just your countenance blesses my heart to see. Hall and I really appreciate this opportunity to be together and to be together in your presence. And the purpose of the way we minister together is for the Lord to feel comfortable to manifest himself. Many times in a church, it's a routine get-together, and you miss the Lord in the midst of it. And so it takes time to get the flow of what the Holy Spirit's saying and doing and how he's going to work in your heart. So we're both sensitive to that. And so as we looked at in the introduction to the book of Revelation and the introduction chapter 1, tonight we'll finish chapter 1 and look at it and prepare for next Wednesday the letters to the seven churches of Asia, which are very unique letters, and they talk to our hearts, and they talk to history, and they talk also to individual churches that have the personalities of the seven churches. It is interesting that this is the revelation. Some of your Bibles say the revelation of St. John Divine. I don't know if there's anything divine of him or if he were St. John in God's eyes, but that's a publisher's edition. That's not the Lord's edition. It's actually the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that word is the key to the entire book, every chapter. It's the Greek word apocalypse. When you and I think of apocalypse, we think of the end of the world, don't we? Horrible things are happening. It's an apocalypse happening. And it's not that, actually. It's the unveiling, as I mentioned last week, like a mayor in the city park, and he's got a big statue. None of us can see what it is, but he wants to reveal and unveil the statue so you can see what it is. And then he pulls the cord, and the tapestry falls down, and we see it's of a hero, somebody. But it's the revealing of Jesus Christ. And here's what I've learned over the years about him. He will reveal himself pretty much as I will allow him. Because sometimes he can be a little bit scary if he amps up all the way and we fall over backwards. But he will come into our lives in a setting like this where people like-minded, and he will walk up and down the aisles and touch you without anybody else knowing what he's doing in you. And then as a group, he'll come with his presence that we'll all feel and sense, and we're in a holy place with him. So what he reveals to you through his word is something that the people in front of you or behind you may not even be hearing. You're hearing something else because he's revealing himself to you. And most Christians, I would use the word most, don't even really know him in that manner. They know him here, a little bit here, but they don't really know him in their prayer life or where they can just lay their hearts out before him and he can come and talk like a friend before the throne of God and to see him for who he is. He's not a religious leader. He's your leader. He died for you individually and collectively. So he's got more for us. And our country's in big, big trouble. Probably not going to come out of this nosedive it's in. But I know that the Lord always has a remnant. And in that remnant, there are people that truly have a heart for God to work. And so we're looking for a spark of his Holy Spirit in all of our hearts in a group this size could change America if we truly opened up to him and we listened to him. Don't direct him. Don't tell him what we're going to do, but just follow him. Let him walk with us and talk with us and make it very real. And so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for every one of us tonight, that our hearts will be open to you, that you will minister to us in a very special way, and that you will touch these beautiful men and women that are sitting at your feet, many with their Bibles open and a pen, and they want to learn. And you said, learn of me. And so we want to know you. We want to know the Bible. We want to know the scriptures. We want to know the Word of God. But we're hungry and thirsty for you to be such a person that we could be like, that would go to a cross, suffer, and forgive those who killed you, be buried and raised from the dead and come back and bless people. Can we ever be that loving and that serious about you? So bless my brothers and sisters with your word and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. I have written here, I mentioned it last week, I have it written right at the top of my first page, may Jesus appear in your presence. And if he appears in your presence on this side of the room, maybe he'll appear over here and there and there and there, and all of a sudden the whole room sees and knows. So you're a magnet. And God has drawn us together. Our time is limited. We only have so many days. No man knows when we're going to die. And so we want to make the best of our time. It's the best investment we can make. And the returns are eternal, one way or the other. And we want it to be his way. That the time we have is his time. And he will honor you. And he'll bless you. And he'll do wonderful things. So we're looking at the unveiling, or that word also means revealing, to see Jesus. And in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's about him, which God gave him to show his servants. That's the purpose. He wants to show us. This book is for the reading in the churches, and a blessing comes with it. And so he tells us everything we need to know. Revelation, unveiling of Jesus Christ, God gave it to him to show his servants, that's you, things which must shortly take place. Now, what's shortly? A day to the Lord is worth 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is equal to a day. So shortly was, what, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, 2,000 years? He was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. So for him to come shortly is just a, not even a snap of the fingers. Behold, we shall not all die, but we shall be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Dr. John Wesley White, Billy Graham's associate evangelist, had 2 PhDs, a brilliant man, and yet so down to earth, anybody could understand him if you're talking with him. Great sense of humor. I read everything pretty much that he had published, and I got talking to him about the end of the world in the twinkling of an eye. And in one of his books, he brought it up, but he clarified it, so I really understood it. He looked in all the languages that he understood, and he knew several languages, and all the commentaries he had and all the Bible books he had. And he wanted to know, how fast is a twinkle? When you are taken up in a twinkling of an eye, how fast is that? And so he said, it's much faster than 1 second. It's faster than a blink. Blink your eye right now. Blink of both. That's pretty quick, huh? Okay, here's what he said. The closest numerical number I could get into the English language would be faster than 1/1 trillionth of a second. You'll be changed. It'll be, whoop, and we're not here anymore. We're, whoa, brand new body. There's your mom and dad. There's your brothers. There's 4 of those guys you beat up. There's all these other people in your life that you didn't expect. And they're all saying, none of us expected you to be here. But this unveiling has a purpose to it. And when you get the purpose and we start into the tribulation period and we see the church is not on the earth at that time and we see what hell does to the human race, you should by that time understand the purpose of your life from this time on to help people meet God, no matter where you are. So it's the unveiling of Jesus. God gave it to him with the purpose of showing it to the servants, us, the church, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. And he's going to tell us all the things that he saw. And you know John. John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the first epistle, second epistle, and third epistle of John. And he wrote the Revelation. For some reason, the Lord tapped this guy on the shoulder, this fisherman's son, and said, I've got to show you a lot of things. You know, to see a lot of things hurts. We have to die to ourselves and pick up our cross. And some of you are new at this walk with the Lord. And this walk with the Lord is not easy. It's very difficult. You'll be misunderstood. You'll sometimes feel like you're confused. It's a narrow path that leads to a straight gate that leads to eternal life, and very few people are on that path, so it can be lonely. You've got to pick up your cross on a daily basis and follow him. He does the leading, we do the following. We don't do the leading or take charge. We sit back, we just watch the king. And so it's important for us to understand this man, who was a boy when he met Jesus, a young man, he was chosen by the Lord to see all this, but he's almost 93 years old. Can you believe that? So no matter how old you are, and I'm the oldest person in the room right now, you're never too old, you're never too young. Amen. To learn from the Lord and to see him. There is no age in the Lord. So just let yourself enjoy what he's given you. John took a different approach than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John reveals Jesus in different ways. And this is the main point I want to get across to you all. Is this revelation is, have you ever let him reveal himself to you? It should be a daily basis as soon as you wake up. But it is what gets us to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, he reveals Jesus. He reveals him in Gospel of John. And let's go there, if you would, please. Chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you're new to the Bible. And many Christians have never read this, and they don't understand it because it's so different. But he reveals Jesus as the Word of God and as the Creator. And Proverbs talks about him being the Creator and wisdom being there in the very beginning with God. But follow this and see another John and put yourself in the second John's place, John the Baptist. You're a servant. He's touched your life. You want to serve him. You're not totally sure of what tomorrow's going to handle, or a year from now, or 10 years from now, if the Lord should tarry, but you want to serve him. And had you sat me down when I was a brand new Christian, I started the very first day leading people to the Lord. And all these years later, I'm still doing the same thing because I'm so grateful for what he's done for me. I don't want anybody to go to hell, into outer darkness. I want everybody to get an opportunity. I don't care who they are. But listen to this. In the beginning, have you ever heard that before? Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All, not some or a few or several, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now you're a man or a woman that's being sent by God. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. All of us have a testimony, and we can bear witness with our testimony, and that'll shine a light. Later in Revelation, it says there's three ways we overcome the devil. And one of those three ways is the Word of our testimony. The devil's prowling the streets of your neighborhood. He's not coming into your house. You have the testimony of Jesus in your house. That's too bright for him. He flees. You resist the devil. You don't dance with the devil. You don't arm wrestle with the devil. You don't try to outsmart the devil. You resist him. And too many people are too weak today, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, to resist him. And he's running over hundreds of millions of people right now. So he was a witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So to know who you are in the Lord is very important. To make your election and your calling sure is very important. Don't try to be somebody you're not, or draw attention to yourself or people to yourself. You do what John did. He got called, he got gifted, and he recognizes who he is. Now follow this. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now you and I can give light to one man, 10 men, 100 men, 1,000 men, however big the crowd is. You could give a witness to those people. He came to his own, to the Jewish people. Jesus came. His own did not receive him. You know they rejected him. But as many as received him, you and me, them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You got that? That's your credentials right there. You're a child of God. You fear no man, no situation. I've been in a lot of war zones and a lot of bad neighborhoods. And I've seen the Lord do a lot of good things. When I was face to face with ISIS in northern Iraq a couple of times, and I debriefed a lot of the young women that were sold as sex slaves, I hated the devil and what he did to people. I've always hated him. But to see up close world issues of how horrible hell is without any boundaries being held back anymore, the Lord is looking for men to stand up for righteousness. And if you men do not stand for righteousness, I can guarantee you, you're going to fall for everything and anything. And you ladies, he's looking for women to stand up as the holy ladies of old, 1 Peter says, like Abraham's wife and like Sarai. And on, he tells him in your modest apparel that your quietness with the word of God will be a tremendous witness. You don't ever need to even preach to your husband that he will see the Lord in you. Imagine the power that is to be who we're supposed to be, not who we want to be or think we should be, but who he has made us to be is so important. We have been given the right to be called the children of God to those who believe in his name. I believe in his name. I'm his son. And who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but born of God. Except a man be born again, Jesus said, there's no way he could enter into the kingdom of God. Except, there's an exception, a man be born again. That's the exception. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But herein is the condemnation. Now think of this. Men love darkness more than they love the light, lest they come to the light and their deeds are reproved. They don't want their deeds reproved. They're too proud. Men love darkness. So you and I have to be really bright when we open up our heart to him. God is going to put you in front of people you're not expecting. It could be a one-on-one in a supermarket. It could be four teenagers. It could be one woman sitting and crying, trying to decide at the city park if she's going to go to that clinic and have the abortion or keep the baby. And God brings you right along at the right time. And your story unfolds before her. And you pray and she accepts Jesus. God's going to put people in front of you. And then collectively, we're going to see by springtime, as we all grow together as one and we understand each other, And Pastor Jerry and I want to reach this entire neighborhood and go to the city parks and do things that'll draw the community. And we are the light and the love of God, and they'll see him in us. And they'll ask, why do we have such hope within us? And you're going to tell them. Are you ready for that? Yes. Not really, are you? Are you ready for that? Yes. Okay, let's go tomorrow then. We'll go out tomorrow. And the word, now Jesus is unveiling, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, is born in Bethlehem. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred way before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness, and I want his fullness. Don't you want his fullness? Everything he has to offer. His fullness, we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, unmerited favor, and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now take a good character look at this man and apply the positives. Who are you? He's got huge crowds coming to him. He's out there in the desert all by himself. He's baptizing them. And it's gone everywhere in that neighborhood and out of the desert. And now they want to know, who are you? What an opportunity to tell how great you are and what your education is and who you studied under and why they're in front of you because you're so blessed. And be so boastful. But that's not who we are. That's not who John is. You can learn a lot just by looking at his character. He confessed and did not deny, but he confessed the testimony. Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ. They ask him, what then? So they want some options. Are you Elijah? Because they knew the Old Testament that he would have to come back. He said, no, I'm not. But boy, couldn't the pride go crazy there? They think I'm Elijah? Whoa, fire from heaven. Whoa, look at me. Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. They said to him, who are you? Now look at this next sentence. Because this is an honest person asking at this point. And I think that John the Baptist saw this person. And like yourselves, you've been in places that other people have, but they hide it. And they don't let people know who they really were or who they really are. Just look at his wisdom here. Well, who are you? You can see the frustration in this person's heart. Who are you? And here it is. That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Otherwise, we're just lowly servants and we've got big shots that are waiting on us and we're going to get in big trouble. And John understood that. So now he's going to answer him. He said, I'm the voice, quoting Isaiah, of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And that's our purpose. As the prophet Isaiah said. Now, those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they ask him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ and you're not Elijah? You're not the prophet. You see, they know religion, but they don't know relation. There's a big difference. He's not Mr. Christianity. He's the Lord God Almighty. And it's a one-on-one thing with your heart and his heart. And he wants to reveal more of himself to you so that you can prepare yourself for what he's going to bring to you and prepare yourself for heaven. John answered, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. And how often you can see that among Christians. standing right there among all the action and the movement, and he's right next to them, and they don't even know him. They'll say, I believe in Jesus, but look at that. He's right here in the midst of you, and you don't even know him. And that's one of the signs of the end times, and that's one of the things that's crept into the church across the USA. In the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. The power thereof is the Holy Spirit makes you a godly man or a godly woman. And you're chiseled, almost chiseled and shaped by the Holy Spirit through the suffering and the pain and the setbacks and the trials and the tribulations and the family issues and problems and the bills that pile up and how you handle yourself and your character. I think this is really important for us to see, because this is what's going to happen through the entire book. He's going to keep unveiling, 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 unveiling. And it's interesting that in the next day, verse 29, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and now look at him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, oh, he reveals him as the Lamb of God. A lamb is helpless. He has no defense mechanisms. He knows no martial arts. He doesn't know how to box. He doesn't know how to pull out a switchblade or ropes or nunchucks. He has nothing, no claws on the end of his little hoofs. His little tail barely sticks out, and he couldn't beat some guy with his back end. A lamb is totally vulnerable. And now he reveals him as the Lamb of God. Well, it's a lamb that's without blemish that has to be sacrificed for you. So he wants you to see how glorious and how big he is, and he's got a call on your life and a ministry waiting for you. But he wants you to see how humble, how meek, and that he's a living sacrifice as we present ourselves as living sacrifices. Here I am, Lord, and I want to be used by you, and I want to serve you, and I want to love you, and I don't have the abilities. I have the desire, but I need you in my life to change me and make me a godly woman, make me a godly man. So I think it's really beautiful how that he unveils himself through John here, and he sees the Spirit descending upon him from heaven like a dove. In verse 32, I did not know him, but he who sent me said to baptize you with water, upon whom you see the Spirit descending, remaining on him. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen, and now I testify, this is the Son of God. And I'd like to see us all so strong in the Lord that we are not embarrassed. We're not arrogant, but we are not embarrassed to stand in a parking lot and talk to people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I can remember as a reserve officer one night with a female partner in San Diego, and we went to a semi-rough part of town. We had a call of a man that was exposing himself in a supermarket. So I thought, oh, brother, I don't want to be with her when we go arrest this guy. So we come to a guy that fits the description. You know, his height, his color, his clothing. And the big one was that his pants were down around his ankles. This has to be the guy. I said, I'm kind of embarrassed to stand here with you with him. I'll just handle it. She said, no, I've done this. Okay, all right, let's go. I asked the guy a question. Could you help us? I'd be glad to help you. A lot of Christians like that. Be glad to help you. Okay, what I'd like to know is the help we need. We're looking for a person that's probably got some issues in their mind. Uh-huh. And he's walking around the parking lot of this grocery store. Yeah. And he doesn't have any clothes on. You seen anybody like that? No, I don't see anybody like that. And there he is, right there. The world is full of people like that they don't know reality. They've been playing the game so long on their video machine and talking on the phone and doing everything they do with their iPhones and iPads, and they just aren't there anymore. They've had so many setbacks, their mind just snaps. I don't know if you've ever felt that far gone. I have. I don't walk around with my clothes off. Believe me, never have, never would. But I do know what it's like to have it all snap. I can remember one night in Chicago standing on a bridge ready to dive into the water and end it all, 2 in the morning. And then I looked down and I saw ice blocks going down the Fox River. And I looked at that and says, oh my goodness, a guy could freeze to death if he fell in that water. And I got down. That'd be a big popsicle floating down the river. All right, so there he is. And he is the Word of God. He is God. And then we saw verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, verse chapter 1 of Revelation. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy. And the third part is they keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. All right. So now John is going to take us next week to these seven churches. And when we speak of Asia, we're not speaking of the Asia that you and I know. We're speaking of Roman Asia, where they controlled everything. And that's, he's talking about that present day. I've been through most of Asia, well, I think pretty much all but one or two, from North Vietnam, South Vietnam, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, China, Macau, Hong Kong, Japan, Philippines, all sorts of places, Thailand, Cambodia, refugees, and I saw Jesus manifest himself in all those different places in different ways to different people, in jungles or in actual war zones. There isn't any way or anywhere he can't show up. And you may have a son or a brother in prison, and you think they're gone, but if you start praying, that prayer becomes a key in the lock, and it opens up the cell, and some guy can walk by and say, I need to talk to you. And he starts talking to him about God. Never seen him before. Could be an angel. Angels came to the prisons in the book of Acts. If you'd only start praying more, watch what God starts doing more. There are people that spend a lot of time praying. And God responds to them. And he wants you to get closer to him. In Acts chapter 4, Jesus said, chapter 1, Jesus said that, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So can you begin to understand why you need the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the mission we are headed towards before the end is so difficult. Only the Holy Spirit could accomplish it through the church, through you. No matter how talented you are, we are nothing. And apart from Jesus, we can accomplish nothing. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. And we look to him for our strength. And if he says go, we stretch ourselves. There are a lot of ministers that won't stretch themselves. They like it in a little box with a menu of what they're doing all week. And there's no room for spontaneity or for the miraculous of the Holy Spirit. He may ask you to drive a long distance. You don't even know why you're driving there. And then you get there and you find out, oh, this guy right here, I need to talk to him. I can see he's gone a little crazy here. You don't know what he has, but if you're willing, he'll show you what he has. And you'll all of a sudden be a secret agent for the Lord. And you can come and go anywhere with his ID in your heart. And no man will stop you. And you'll see miracles. You begin to see the responsibility we have. Grace to you and peace. Now remember, grace is unmerited favor. Peace is the cessation of hostility. And people say, I'm going to smoke a joint so I can feel the peace. No, they're feeling weirdness in their body. But you cannot have peace until you have grace first. You'll see that through the Bible. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. When you get the grace of God and you realize, I'm saved by God's grace, not by any works that I've done, but he's done it. And you accept that grace that, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I just have no idea. I'm going to pay the bills this month. I have no idea how I'm going to get through this situation with the people at work. God does. And when you get to the place that you just accept every day, you turn it to him and you walk out the front door with him and you get in the car with him, and you go into the factory with him, and you work with the people with him, and it just unfolds. Take him everywhere you go. You want him with you. So we must do the same as Christian believers. We must do the same as a local church. We must bear witness to the work of God and give testimony of Jesus. Do I hear an amen on that one?
Amen.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to publicly give a testimony of Jesus. Everybody is hurting. But down deep, what's making them happy? Because they're getting their own way. So I ask you again, as I go across the country this year for Wake Up America, by waking up the church in a revival, I want to bless you by us taking what we learn here, and we go and see God do fantastic miracles. Verse 3, that blessing, those who read it, the seven churches are getting to be blessed, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and that's what you are, a faithful witness, not a haphazard witness, not a witness that has made up a man's doctrine, not a witness of something other than Jesus. It's always about Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to whom him who loved us, who washed us from our sins in his own blood. In those words, a better translation is who is loving us, who is washing us, continually cleansing you. And this is something that's very difficult for me as a young Christian. And I know some of you are young Christians. Because I had blown my mind out. And the doctors, it took 17 months to be able to get me to talk. And when I started getting my thought patterns back, then I started seeing the hallucinations again. And for the Lord to heal my mind, it was a brand new thing to see it, but now see it filled with scriptures. And I started going to the rehabs. I started going to the juvenile hall in Orange County every Sunday, and also to the mental hospital. It was Fairview State Hospital on Harbor Boulevard. And I remember I took a bunch of Maranatha musicians with me, and we'd go every Sunday to those places where there were people that needed Jesus. And this one Sunday, the head doctor of the mental hospital came to me and said, "You know, Mike, you've been faithful here every Sunday, and these young people that are flipped out, you've done some wonderful things to help them." And I said, "Well, it's the Lord, because there's no way I could be doing it." And he said, "Well, there's somebody I'd like you to see." And he took us into a hallway, way down the hall, around the corner, into another hallway. And in this very secluded room was a young woman who turns out to be 19 years old. She's got a white sheet on. She's got leather straps on her wrists and her arms. Her ankles are strapped to that bed. She has bruises all the way up both her arms and forearms and her hands, where she's chewing on herself and gnawing. She's demon-possessed. And when she saw four or five musicians and myself walk in with the doctor, she's everywhere trying to break those big, thick leather, whatever they were, handcuffs. And my heart just, I looked at her and my heart just broke. She's a beautiful young woman, but she was helpless and hopeless. And so I said, "Would you mind, guys?" Like if Holland were with me, I'd say, "Would you mind playing a song on your guitar just acoustically? Or would you sing her a song? Music seems to soothe." And they started to sing an a cappella song. And she just went, "Oh." And you could tell she was trying to process it. And then I just leaned forward. I said, "Doc, is this okay if I talk to her?" I said, "Yeah." And I told her about Jesus. And all of a sudden, she let out the biggest sigh and was totally relaxed. She opened her eyes and looked at the doctor and said, "I'm okay. Could I go home now?" And he looked at her and said, "What?" He undid her. There were a couple nurses there and orderlies, and they usually had to wrestle her. The Lord totally put her at peace. I don't know what your problem is, but it's nothing compared to who Jesus is, or what your friend or your family members is. Jesus is it. There's nothing else to focus on. That's not religious. It's just that you see him for who he is, and your love just keeps increasing. Okay, so before we leave, I want to point out, he has made us a kingdom of priests. Did you know that? You're kings and priests. We make a kingdom of priests to our God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye is going to see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. And then Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. In the Greek language, Alpha is their A, and Omega is their letter Z in their alphabet. But did you also notice their numerical value? It's the number one, Alpha, and it's the last number, Omega. So when he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's everything concerning anything, from the beginning to the end. And he knows you from the beginning to the end, and to your new beginning. And in Psalm 139, the Lord says, how precious are his thoughts towards you continually. How many times have you ever thought there's anything precious about you? Continually, his thoughts. He's not angry with you. He's not disappointed. He's not mad. He's not going to get even for your mistakes. He loves you. And he's thinking nothing but good thoughts because he sees the potential you have in his son, Jesus Christ. So don't beat yourself up in the head. You're a new creature in Christ. And then he says, how great the number of his thoughts daily are towards you that are precious. They number more than the sands of the earth. Now, a few years back, I was a guest in Saudi Arabia. And I was asked if I wanted to go see something in the desert. And I said, well, yeah, okay, I'll go. 2.5 to 3 hours from any city. And it was a well that was being dug. And as I'm driving there, it was just sand everywhere from where I was staying. And I reached down when I got out of the van they had us in and went inside the fence line. And I picked up a handful of sand and I squeezed my hand. I thought, God, if you could stop all this sand, I could start counting how precious your words are. And I figured out if he could slow it down, it might take my whole lifetime to count every little grain of sand, let alone all that I've passed in 2.5 hours in Saudi Arabia, not to mention Death Valley or the Gobi in China, all the deserts, or all the sand and all the seashores in the world. His thoughts towards you are precious, and they outnumber the grains of sand. So are you ready to go in his name? I hope so, because he loves you so much. So in closing, what does this say to you? Jesus knows his men. I know the seven churches and who's there. I know the pastors who are there. Jesus knows the people that make up the church. He is very much aware that we are gathered this moment in his name. And angels are here. And the Holy Spirit's here. And the Lord's looking in on you. And he loves you desperately. But as a daddy, I want all my children, grandchildren. I don't have any physical wealth to give them. But I want them to have anything of my love, my wife's love, anything we can do before we leave. Put good memories in their minds to trust in God. And most of them do. And God wants the same for you. Don't miss it anymore. Let him unveil himself to you. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a trumpet and I heard the voice. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, I want you to write it down in a book. And I turned to see the voice. It spoke with me. And I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of seven lampstands, there was this Son of Man clothed in a garment down to his feet, girded around the chest with a golden band. His head of hair was white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, being refined in a furnace. His voice, the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When's the last time you ever fell at his feet? I mean, honestly, in your bedroom even, privately. Lord, I just want to lay my face down on the ground and just tell you I love you. When's the last time you did it? Threw your arms up towards the sky out in the middle of your backyard and just, I love you, Lord God. Why don't we? Because we're so consumed with the cares of this world. He'll reveal himself to you. I fell at his feet and he said, do not be afraid. I'm the first, I'm the last. I'm the one that lives, who is dead. I live forevermore and have the keys to death and hell. Write the things that you've seen. So he is told the things he saw, the things that he sees, and what he sees off to the future. And things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery, and he answers the mysteries. Seven stars, my right hand, seven golden lampstands. Seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. And so I want you to have a week where you realize that Jesus has everything under control. Everything. If you're waiting a court date, he's got the judge under control. He's got the attorneys under control. He's got the bail amount under control. He's got the report under control. He's got it under control for your half, your good half. He wants to bless you. I've been in a room like that 19-year-old girl on my own. It was very lonely and very frightening. And I knew that my life was gone. And I didn't like it. And I had to fight and fight. And then finally, I just said, whatever you have to do, I'm going to let you do it. And the guy said, okay, since you got that attitude, we're not going to strap you down. You don't ever want to be in that place. You want to have the right hand of fellowship with God and let him bless you. He loves you. He's got a great plan for you. He's got wonderful people waiting to hear your words and to see your testimony and to be delivered from their bondage. Can you share that? Will you share that? Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, in Jesus' name, we're grateful to you. We love you. We're thankful to you and for you. And we pray that when we return in our next session, if you should tarry, that you would put people in front of us and we would see you brought them and that you would give us the gentle boldness to begin talking to them about your love and about your care and concern for their life. And may we see many people come to Jesus this next week just from our slight efforts that you orchestrate for us. But let my brothers and sisters see that you've revealed yourself this evening to them and you'll take it a step further and keep revealing yourself during the week. And they'll learn a great life lesson of you, the great revelation that saves men's souls. In Jesus' name, amen.